Thank you so much for coming to my website on this Saturday, the 12th of September, 2015, in Los Angeles, California, the United States of America, on God's good, great planet Earth. Yeah, we're going to talk about what we've been looking at here for a little bit, and I think that we need to take a little time to look at legalism and to discover how it has hijacked the church. You know, a lot of people do a lot of things in the church out of legalistic duties. And I'm going to go through a few scriptures, and I'm going to go to Wikipedia, and we're going to look at the term legalism. We're going to see how this particular term was used in... we're going to start off for your benefit in Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. And I'd like to read it to you in the Revised Standard Version. It says, "Beware of practicing your piety before men in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father, which is in heaven." One of my favorite verses of all times in the Bible that I've read, because I've never been a person that flaunted anything that I have. I believe that everything that I have in terms of my knowledge, my education, if I have any material substance at all, it's mine to share with other people that don't have. I'm a very benevolent person. I cannot eat a meal lest I know that the person that I'm eating the meal with is healthy. I went by to have dinner with a friend of mine in another city last night. It's very nice. Italian pasta with cheese in it and some nice chicken. We just kind of fancied it up and had a couple of glasses of wine and just talking out in the cool night air, enjoying one another's company. And I said, you know, we... as Americans, we sure do know how to eat. We sure do know how to enjoy a dish, enjoy a nice bottle of wine. We have so much. You know, the luxuries that the Syrians are trying to find as they bombard Greece and other places to live, we don't have. We don't have a problem in the world when it comes to indulging ourselves and who we are. But let's take a look at the godly people, the ones that says that they're united with God, and that if you're united with God, you have to have the nature of God. And of course, the nature of God is that all human beings have the same human nature. If you're of a Judeo-Christian background, you believe that the God that created all human beings loves all human beings. So therefore, since you've adapted the religious faith of the God that loves, quite naturally, you ought to love and to become benevolent, helpful, and become a person that, you know, I'd like to read this because I want to read it for you in the King James Version. It says, "Take heed that you do not your alms before men." And that's what I want to deal with. I want to deal with this term alms, because it comes from a Greek term, homone, to not your alms. What is this homone? I guess the best way to translate this in the Greek into the English is, don't do your own selves when you claim that you are helping someone else. You have to be a selfless person to help someone else. See, as I've said, once you get into the habit of reading your Bible and understanding what that Bible means, let me give you a good example. You know, someone, excuse me, that may be in your... Where did I put my beverage at? Because... I was going to, you may know someone in your community, okay? Someone in your community that is down and out, really needs a helping hand, and you have a couple of extra dollars, and you can help the person. If it entails buying them a meal, buying them a tie, or letting them have one of your ties, a pair of shoes. I don't know how many pair of shoes I've given away to young men, white shirts and ties. Because over the years, as a pastor, I collect ties. Your members gave you ties. I gave it to the boys that I came in contact that needed that for the job interview. I mean, pairs of shoes that I've given away, tennis shoes, just numerous. Now, why did I do it? Did I do that and so I'm building my castles in the sky? I never do me in order to please God. And that's where the church is going wrong, because they're doing themselves. And then they say, well, look at what I've done. Did you ever read the whole verse that says, take heed that you do not your alms or do yourself before men to be seen of them? In other words, you're just doing it because you know that men are looking at you. Otherwise, you have no reward. In other words, God is not going to look on you in the future. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and he said, why do you keep helping people that are losers? All they do is use you up, and at the end of the day, you have nothing. Because I am doing alms. As a believer, I believe that should be done. Now, I'm going to share it with you, and so that you will know exactly what I'm talking about. I'm not in some foreign text that I'm going to go real deep. No, I'm in Wikipedia, and since I'm in Wikipedia, I'm going to let it define it from the vantage point of, you got me right, from the vantage point of Christianity. It says, the giving of alms is an act of charity towards those less fortunate. That means when you help somebody in life, they don't have a job, they can't get, you know, I'm trying to teach a lesson to these boys. I really am. One of them got him a good job. You know, I told you about that a couple of days ago. But he's, you know, he loves people in his family. And I said, no, son, you're a man now. Listen to me. You can't help other grown people that are not going in the same direction that you're going in. I said, it's not selfish towards your family, but if your family are grown, you got to leave them alone. And they've got to find their way. Oh, no, I'm going to. I said, you're making a mistake. Well, backfired on him. See, the boy went to that job today, and he was late to that job 30 minutes because he was dependent upon somebody else to get him to work. And he didn't take care of his own business, and he got docked. And his boss told him, one more time, showing up in my place late, and you'll be looking for another job. Now, the boy is livid. Yes, he is. But hey, I told him, look, work for you. You're not working for anybody else. You're working for you. Almsgiving is different because you have that you can give to someone else. It is the offertory. The offertory is the traditional moment in Roman Catholic Mass or in the Anglican Eucharist or in the Lutheran Divine Services when alms are collected. In other words, some Protestant groups such as Baptists and Methodists also engage in alms, although it is more commonly referred to as tithes and offerings. And they're absolutely correct. It is almsgiving, though. That's what it is. And you see, because there's no command in the Bible telling any Christian to give anything. But because when you look at this, Matthew chapter 6, verse 1, it says, take heed that when you do, that you do not your alms before men. In other words, you are not doing this to be seen of men, to be recognized of men. That's why I don't believe in the churches when they say, stand up, Brother Smith. Did you know that Brother Jones and Brother Taylor helped you make it this month? And we want to give God a hand clap for what these men did. No. The man that gave the help to Brother Smith would be offended at a pastor even mentioning it, because that would be doing your alms before men. It should never be mentioned. I recall that there was a young man in the church years ago. Lucy and I were both blessed to have had a job. And I told Miss Stanley, I said, I really want to help. Miss Stanley was a pastor's wife, very godly woman. Yes. And I told Miss Stanley, I said, you know, I really want to help the brother, but I don't want it to be obvious. that I know he needs $40 or $60, and I want to give it to him, and I don't know how to do it, but I don't want to toot my whistle. Miss Stanley, who was a pastor's wife, she's deceased now, but she'll never be dead. She'll always live in my heart. Because she taught something, she said, "You love him, don't you?" I said, "Look at him. But I don't want to embarrass him." So she said, "Fold up the 60, the 320s, in your hand, and go up to him." And I was a pastor of the church. And he says, "And go up to him. Let nobody see you have it there. Fold it up and just go up to him and grab his hand and put the other hand on his shoulder with the $60 in the hand. And just said, 'I'm so glad to see you in church today. It always enlivens my heart. God bless you. And may he continue to benefit your life.'" And I gave him $60 out of my wallet, out of my family's money. Because I saw it on his face. He was a man. And he had his little son with him. He would bring him to church faithfully. I didn't ask the church to take up an offering for him. No, because that would have been doing your alms before men. All right, you can go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 2. Let's look at this next verse. It says, "Therefore, when thou doest thine alms," it says, "do not sound the trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues, in the streets, that they may be seen, or that they may have glory of men. Verily I say to you, they have their reward." In other words, we're commanded, do not cause. In other words, do not cause a trumpet to be sounded when you are giving alms. And in the churches, they're always telling the poor lady to stand up. Stand up with your kids. We're going to take care of them. That's right. Brother Deacon, he going to run you through the, is it safe to give you money? Have you been on dope? Are you living the decent? No. When you do true biblical alms, you just pull out 3, 4 20s, fold them up in your hand. Put it in the hand of the person that you love, and he knows his money. He feels it in his palm. That man didn't say, "Oh no, Pastor, I can't take this." No, because nobody knew that I gave him that but me. And I'm not telling you this now, tooting my trumpet. That's how I help young men out. When they're down and out, I help them out. There was a brother, he was in my office. And he was telling me about something wretched, something that I had never heard from his own parents, how they both just wished that he'd disappear. And he said, "You know, I want to cry, but I can't because I'm a man, and I just hugged a dude." I said, "It's all right." I said, "You're looking at somebody that's concerned about you, that loves you. You are loved, man. Love is easy." And this boy got so much of God in him. Because he came up with so much of hell around him in his parents. Parents are full of hell. And so I want to teach about this, because self-righteous people are always tooting the trumpet of what they do. And that is not the way it should be done. Now I'm going back up to the top of the page. It says alms or almsgiving involves giving to others as an act of virtue, either materially or in the sense of providing capabilities such as education, wisdom, knowledge. I alms give all the time because as a person that's mature and older, I do better by communicating, by giving you this kind of wisdom. But I never do it in order to toot my own whistle. It exists, this almsgiving, in a number of religious and institutions. The word in the most in the modern English language comes from an old English term, Wikipedia says, as almsy, from the Latin, from the Greek, and it means it comes from to be merciful or to pity someone's situation and to give in to that. But when we as Christians do it, it is not supposed to be with the trumpet blowing. The church is guilty of that. And that's why if it's a church with a lot of money and they say, "We're going to help this person over here," that is none of their business. They just ought to draft the check, give it to them. Maybe this will help you get your kids on the way. Now, if that woman does not come back to that church for the rest of her life, those people in that organization should not even look at them turn their nose up or anything like that. I like the way Jesus put it. And again, we're looking at Matthew chapter 6, and we're looking at verse 3. He says, "But when thou doest alms," oh, I love this, "let not your left hand know what your right hand is doing." Now, I want to share with you about that, because that sounds like, man, is that crazy? Wait a minute. How come you can't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing? Well, I'm going to share that with you. Okay. "When therefore you give alms," in other words, this is the first example, the wrong way is that of the hypocrite, as described in the Greek term hypocrites, rendered hypocrite in this verse. It means a theatrical actor, you know, and that's what the church has become, a theatrical actor. I remember when that pimp, Eddie Long, you know, the one that was molesting them boys, sleeping with them, taking them to hotels, to foreign countries, and stripping them naked and having sex with them. And even though the young men were grown enough, they should have known that that would have messed them up. But, and he would give them alms out of his own pocket. That's what that was. He called them, "When I'm blessing you with this." No, no, no. He did that to get something from those young men. Get something that was very precious that belonged to them. Now, we know how that is when you cohort a prostitute. You're buying sexual favors from the prostitute to satisfy your fleshly desires. Very common. I said that on the last webcast that I did. Very common amongst people. People do that. Young man told me that he was in a restaurant, and there was a man in the restaurant looking at porno on his little phone right in the restaurant. He was sitting at a table next to him, and that's the way the man ate his meals. And so in this society, people ain't shaming nothing. They're putting it all out there for you to see. They're doing it. But here Jesus is saying, don't become a theatrical actor, a one who is not real but acts a part. And that's what the preacher does when he calls you out to give alms. Now, come on now. If you want God to bless you, you got to give back to God. That is not in the Bible anyhow, anywhere. Some actor made that up. Their method was to give ostentatiously. But our age world rings with the praises of the millionaire who gives a few thousand, but is silent concerning the humble ones who have taken from their necessities and given to the same cause. You see, because there are people in our society that would take, you know, I got some friends, and every month, you may hear me mention their name, every month they send me something on the regular, and you know, I've grown to look forward to that extra lunch money. I have. I shouldn't, but I like a nice lunch now and then, and it comes in right at the right time. I'm not a hypocrite. I'm not sounding a trumpet so they can get any praise or anything. I'm telling you that I am grateful, because a person that receives true alms, an alms giver, because I don't tell these people that they need to send me anything. They really don't. A hypocritos was a, let's deal with this. First, let's deal with the sounding of the trumpet, because it says, you know, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, and don't sound the trumpet when you give. What does that mean? See, this seems to be a proverbial expression to denote the making of a thing publicly known. See, and when I see it done so often in the churches, wrongly and poorly, it not only embarrasses the person that receives the alms gift, because as I knew, the man was a working man, he was unemployed, he had his 9 or 10 year old son with him because she gave him visitation rights. He was kind of like a single parent, and she let him have the kid during the weekend. And so since he told her that he's taking the kid to church, and his lady, I don't know whether he was married, but she heard me on the radio. He explained it to me. She said that she was pleased that he was attending to a man that sounds like he's telling the truth. That was me when I was on the radio. And I had to ask my pastor's wife, because I was an associate minister at that time, married at that time with a wife. And I didn't go to my wife and ask her, could I give this man $60? That was $60 out of my pocket. And if I made a choice to bless this man's life with what God has given me, automatically my wife would receive the blessings because she is my partner and my mate in matrimony. You see what I mean? So therefore, it should never become an argumentative forum on whether you can give like that. But this proverbial expression of sounding the trumpet means making a public display. The meaning is, when you give to the poor, do not make a show of it. Church is guilty of it. Guilty of it. Every time they say, you know, you robbing God if you not, nah, they're guilty of it. That is wrong. That is wrong before God. When it happens before you, you need to get up and get out of there. They're hypocrites. You're like a Grecian actor. The actor wore a mask and they appeared to be somebody else than they really were. So too are the religious hypocrites. They're pretending to be something when in essence they are something else altogether. There are people in the church like that. And it is most disgusting. He said, when you do your alms, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Now, that is good. That is a very good admonition. And what I think we need to do when we go to this, let's go to other commentaries and see what they say about this situation. Because I think that as you go to these commentaries, you can find a lot in what other people say about this. Let not your left hand know. Okay, this is that proverbial expression that I talked about. Okay. And he's saying, you should do this, in other words, in as much secrecy as possible. You don't even know. You don't even want to make a public show to yourself. See, because when you alms give, I was visiting a friend of mine and he was very down. He thinks he's ill. And I'd never seen him that low. And I just said, hey man, let me give you a massage. Come here. And I just start massaging him and he says, oh, that feels good. I said, I know it does, man. Now, if it were a woman, if she were single, and I'd give her a massage too, I don't care. You know, that's a part of almsgiving. When you can bring comfort and peace and cessation of hostilities to another human being, you are giving of alms here. It should be done as secretly as possible. The Hebrews often attribute actions to members which properly belongs to persons. And so, in this sense, if Jesus is saying this, he was giving a certain encouragement for doing this, is that it will be pleasing to God and not necessarily pleasing to yourself, and that he will see the act. God sees the act when you're really doing this from your heart, however secret it may be. And God will openly reward you for it. Now, do you know what that means by openly reward you? It doesn't mean that he's going to give you more if you give of what you have for another person. It merely means that he is going to open up the windows of opportunity for you to do it again, which becomes a blessing to you because you're a very benevolent person. You see? That's what a Christian is. He isn't doing it to be seen. He isn't doing it to please the bishop. He isn't doing it to raise the offering quota. He isn't doing it for that. And my friend, if the reward is not greater in this life, it will be in the life to come. God is saying, listen, all right, if nobody gives back to you, you ain't looking for nothing back in the first place. In multitudes of cases, however, almsgiving to the poor was kind of like lending to the Lord. I don't know whether you ever looked at Proverbs chapter 19, verse 17. It said, he that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord. See, when you give these alms, you're doing it. Oh my God, because you love God so much, you cannot help but to love his creation. Do you understand what I'm saying? And that which you have given, he will pay you again. God will pay you again for being faithful to the deeds that you are to be faithful with him about. It is most wonderful when you think about that. And I love the teaching of this study so much, because it shows me that rarely, perhaps never, has it been found that the man who is liberal to the poor has ever suffered by it in his worldly circumstances. Now, let me share this with you. That's what Albert Bourne says in his commentary towards Matthew chapter 6, verse 3. And let me affirm what he said. Since I am a person that gives of my life like that, I have never suffered a need of anything. Oh, I didn't say I was never late in paying bills. Matter of fact, one of my checking accounts is on negative right now. I'm negative about $20. I got to go put $20 in the bank, and so that they won't start sending me all these notices, you know, because I'm waiting to get paid by the board at the end of the month. But you know what? I have food in my refrigerator. You know what? I feel like I'm the richest man in the world. And God has taken care of me because I take care of those. I'll never forget, ladies and gentlemen, when I told you guys before, years ago, when I took in Mario Canto. He didn't have nowhere, 20 years old. Didn't have nowhere to stay. I said, wait, what? What? You can stay with me? Huh? Well, I may have to walk through your bedroom to get to my room. Go ahead and walk through it. What are you, human being? Oh, no, you shouldn't let him do that, John. Your privacy. What privacy? We all men in this house. You think they had privacy in the biblical days? They didn't have no private closets, walk-in closets, and 15 pair of shoes and all that kind of crap. Living in the 21st century. I'm not ashamed of anything. Now listen. We're talking about what almsgiving is, right? And we're trying to discover. Well, let me see what another commentary says. Left hand. Let your good deeds be done without ostentation and without seeking human praise. Keep your mouth shut about what you think God feels about that, when you know that God knows that the whole act was a rebellious act of defiance upon yourself, because you believe that if you give a certain percentage, that God's going to give you a certain percentage back. See, you've been dumbed over. You're in Plato's myth of the cave, chained up, locked up, with your hands all bound, and I'm screaming to you from this ridiculous looking website to tell you that you can be free, but you don't want to be free because you think that I'm a mean guy. I know. Let not your left hand know what your right hand is doing. You know what that means? It means do it as secretly as is consistent with the doing it at all. In other words, it's done secretly, but when you do it, it is to the point that it is going to purpose an embetterment in the person's life. And it's not if you just indulge materialism on the person without a cause. Let me give you a good example. I was trying to teach one of my sons a very important lesson, and I think he learned it. Because he has a car, and he has this wonderful new job, and he likes to loan his car to family members. And I told him, no, son, when you got a job, you got to be at that work. You can't be loaning your vehicle to anybody. As a matter of fact, no one, I told him, has ever driven my car unless I'm in the car sat next to him. And I don't loan my vehicle to nobody overnight. I don't know where they are, where they're going, or what they're doing. I don't do that. As a matter of fact, I never loaned my daughters my car. I never let my wife drive my car unless there was something wrong with hers. She was on the same insurance with me, so it didn't matter. But my daughters weren't. They didn't drive my car because they were my daughters. So I told the young man not to do that. He argued, that's my family member. I have an obligation. I said, no, you're going to find out what happened. And what happened, he was late to his job. And he was told, one more time and you're out of here. And he was heavily set back. And I told him, I told you not to do that. See, he was taught, well, if you help your family, no, you're doing that to be seen and read of your family. Forget your family. If they're adult and if they haven't sufficed that kind of need for themselves, it's near about time for them to get to that point. Because if not, you will suffer for that. You will suffer for it. Oh my gosh. I know I'm telling the truth about it. I know I am. Let's go to the next verse. All right, we go to verse 5 here. All right. And what does verse 5 say? When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites. Here he's using this term again, hypocritos. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets. Why? That they may be seen. Phaneo. That's that scene. And that's a very interesting term when you look at that in the Greek. Let me see if I can give that. To show transitive or intransitive. Let's see, I'm trying to read these Greek definitions. But to be noted of men. Verily, he says, I say unto you, that they have their reward. In other words, Jesus is saying that the reward that they think that they're going to get, no, they got it. Men gawking at him saying, ooh, he's something, ain't he? You know, I was surprised, but not surprised, because I know that police officers need to use a little bit more sense. You know, if I'm a black man walking in downtown Manhattan coming out of a 5-star hotel and I look like somebody that's been stealing phones and the cops just gonna come up to me and slam me down, I'm standing up against the wall using my cell phone, and the cop could have come up to me and got another backup unit and said, excuse me, sir, but is that your phone? He said, yes it is. May I see it? Yes. But the way they attacked that man and threw him down to the ground, if that had been a white boy standing in front of that 5-star hotel instead of that black tennis player that had some form of notoriety about him, the hypocrites would not have slammed a white man down to the ground like that. It is a shame that, and this is the problem in this country right now. The mothers must be raising these cats, because you cannot be a man raising a man having a young cop do something like that. Got to be out of your mind. Your job doesn't make you God. And because somebody informs on another person in the street, I don't care what Chief Braxton says, Commissioner Braxton and all that stuff. He was here in L.A., you know, working out here with the LAPD after Willie Williams, the black police chief, put his foot in his mouth. He's caught in Vegas gambling the money away with his wife. Man, it's just ridiculous. Willie had to know that he was being watched under the telescope very closely. But we're talking about alms, not ignorance, right? Yeah, right. Oh, I like that. I want you to look at verse 5. He says, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogue and on the street corners, that they may be seen of men. See, people go to church, oh God, and then they're just going to start praying out loud and saying that. And then when people say, amen, amen, they keep that prayer going. I would like you to get one of them hypocrites to start saying this prayer and don't nobody say nothing. He'll probably say, oh, Lord, they don't hear me this morning. Touch them and so they can make a sign. See, that's you doing your alms before men. whole church is full of it. Hypocrisy from the top to the bottom. Now let's see what this is all about. See what this is all about. When you praise. See, hypocrites have manifested, and they manifest the same spirit about prayer as almsgiving. Same spirit. You're lying. You know you're lying. And you love it because it's done in a public place. You're looking at to see if they're looking at what you got on. I got to go to a funeral of a dead person. I'll probably put on a pair of jeans and a t-shirt and a blazer. That's it. No tie, no nothing like that. I'm just going like I'm saying, hey, it's kind of warm outside. I'm not going to overdress. I'm going to do that. But let's see. Let's see. You can be just as hypocritical. And he says the word synagogues here clearly means not the place of worship of that name, but places where many, get this, places where many were accustomed to assemble, like near the marketplace. That's where everybody would see because they'd go out there, and, oh, Father, Holy God, and bow down and everything, and they have on the long robes, and everybody's supposed to look at them and say, oh, they're so holy. They're so, you know, he says, no, our Lord eventually could not mean to condemn prayers in the synagogues. It might be said that he condemned this ostentatious prayer while they neglected secret prayer. See, the prayer that I pray is, Lord, please don't let me in anything, do anything wrong against you and against your nature and against the people that I cohabit with. Let them know that it's good. That is very good. Oh, my goodness. And the Jews were much in the habit of praying in public places. You see them at the wailing walls today. Certain times of the day, they always offered their prayers wherever they were. And they suspended their employment. Yes, they did. And they paid their devotions. You paid it in that religion. And you see people in the church doing that. That's legalism. It's not going to make you closer to God when you do that. This is also practiced now everywhere in the Mohammedan's religion. And many places in Roman Catholic Church, it seems also that they sought publicity in doing it and regarded it as proof of great piety. But I see at the end of that verse it says they have their reward. Now I'm going to quote a couple of scriptures to you. Proverbs 16 and 5 says, everyone that is proud in heart is as an abomination to the Lord. See, when you get that way, you're an abomination to God. Okay, though hand is joined in hand, he shall not be unpunished. You know what God is saying? Though you have partners with you in this regime of trickery and bribery and fanatical scandal, you will not be let off the hook. That is what God promises. That's how come I help people, even down to my last dollar bill. Look at James chapter 4, verse 6. It says, but he that giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. You see what I'm talking about? You can't even give alms unless you're humble enough to know that God wants your giving to be done on that nature. And so it just becomes a very beautiful thing when you read what God's word says about that, man. And the people's commentary says, and when you prayest, thou shalt not be like. See, that's the second example of the right and the wrong kind of righteousness here. And that's why they're given this, that men ought to pray. That's assured them. But the wrong way is that of the hypocrites, because the men and the women who make public show of their devotions, that they have their name sanctity. See, oh, he's a righteous man. What do you mean? I saw him praying in the marketplace. No, brother, that dude loves standing in the synagogue. See this love that he's talking about. Okay. These love not to pray. They don't love to pray. No. They love to pray where they will be seen. See, there's a great difference in that. Prayer is not taking over their lives. They want to be seen. And they want to pray that they may be seen. So that the Pharisees took pains in the same, in some public places where they could strike an attitude of prayer in the sight of many observers. And the same spirit is often still seen with people in church. I see it all the time. I recall that the young men that wanted to be pastors like me, they couldn't understand, man, you can get this. Don't you know you can get that? No. Let's read verse 6 here. Because verse 6 says, but when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. See, I ask God to help me. I ask God to give me an opportunity to help other people all the time. Oh, yeah, I'm an alms giver, but I don't give it the way you give it. I don't give it to a man that's standing out on the corner with his hands out. No, if I see a man in a restaurant see me going in and he's looking at me, I see it in his eyes. And I said, hey, man, would you like to have a dinner? And I just put a 20 in his hand. I said, go ahead and get something to eat, man. You look like you need it. And he said, man, I just want to thank you. I said, oh, no, man, I didn't do nothing. See, I did it because I knew I had it to give it. And I saw hunger in him. And I'm in America. And that's what almsgiving was taught to me when I was a young Christian growing up in the church. I don't think that anybody, oh man, I saw it today. I was on CNN and they had a picture of the migrants coming in from Syria and all the people in Europe and one of the countries there just joining in the march with them, giving them water and food, clothing, hugs. And the migrants were just started to weep because other people loved them. I saw one news clip where one of the men that came over on the boat of Syria kissed the reporter on both of his cheeks, a way of showing gratitude, a man putting his lips on another man's face, showing gratitude that he's reporting that their lives are safe and that they're in a place that has decency over their lives. And I'm telling you, whoever put ISIS together, whether it's our country, and I don't put nothing past our government, anything, I'm just grateful to God that we live in the best country in the world thus far. But when you pray, that's what we're talking about. So let's see what's happening here. Okay. Use not vain repetitions in verse 7. Okay, let's go there. And because verse 7 says, but when you pray, use not vain repetition as the heathen do. For they think that they shall be heard with their much speaking. See, that's why when Sister Stanley told me to fold up the $60, put it in my hands, and not say a word. See, I learned as a young spiritual man. You loved that man, and that man was older than me. You can just tell he was, you know, he wanted to take care of his son. Because I used to tell him on the radio, if you need to come with your single children, you can come to church. I'm not going to ask you where your wife is. She may be out there on a pipe or something. If you come to the church where I pastor, I see you. The God that loves me loves you. Because God knows that the message that he's given me will become yours. See what I mean? Benevolent in nature, not utilitarian. Because utilitarianism doesn't often and always negate the proper kind of action. You can think that you're very utilitarian, whereas you believe that everybody in the society should be happy and given that happiness. No, some people need to learn the hard way. Get up off your lazy butt and go to work. Now, he tells them not to use this repetition. The original word here is supposed to be derived from the name of a Greek poet who made long and weary verses. Something like Shakespeare, I guess, declaring that many forms of endless repetitions, the same sentiment. And so it comes way back from Greek culture. Hence, it means to repeat a thing often, to say the same thing in different words, or to repeat the same words as though God did not hear you the first time. Man, they give a classic example here, but how many times have I heard that? You know, somebody get up to pray in church, you know what they're going to say next. We had dear brother Stott, that was his name. He couldn't read. He was with the early pastor for years when they had first moved in the bakery there on 35th and near Jefferson. Yeah, Jefferson and Central. And he couldn't read, but when I first came to the church, he had memorized the 100th Psalm. And the only duty that the pastor gave Reverend Stott was to quote the 100th Psalm. He'd open up the Bible to the 100th Psalm. His head would be down in it. He couldn't read one word. He had memorized it, but he meant it in his heart. And see, he was faithful because he believed that he and his dear wife, Sister Stott, they were, and I'm not bragging, I think they were two of the godliest people that I've ever met in my life. I have never seen anyone. I didn't know his first name or her first name. I know that she was a pianist and a very dear friend of Lena Belvin, who is the mother. She was a church pianist. She was the mother of Jesse Belvin, the blues singer. You know, the one that made the song, "Good night, my love, pleasant dreams, sleep tight, my love. May tomorrow be sunny and bright." Yeah, see, that wasn't Nat King Cole. That was Jesse Belvin. And Jesse Belvin's mother played the piano in the church that I pastored. And what a wonderful... Oh, and she made the best lemon cream pies with graham cracker crust. It was just excellent to eat her pies. But what I was saying is that it should be done in open. Let me give you the example of the bad illustration that they use. 1 Kings 18:26. It says, "And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and they called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, 'O Baal, hear us.' But there was no voice, nor anyone that answered. And they heaped upon the altar, and they leaped upon the altar which was made." In other words, when you're doing your alms before men, and it seems that God's not giving an answer, they would leap on this Old Testament altar to try to show God how serious they were in their provoking of him to answer their prayers. And that's the way many people are in the church. And it's not supposed to be like that. This verse is in negativity. They called on Baal from morning to noon, saying, "Baal, hear us. Hear us." The heathen do the original word is one commonality that they have. Just one commonality. And they live it out. You have to know that. You have to know that. So the world was divided into two parts, the Jews and the Gentiles. That is, in the original, the nations, and then the nations that were destitute of this religion. See? And so I think that we've had enough, we've seen enough, and we're involved enough to know what almsgiving really is. Let's give in the right way. Let's stop being placed or having pressure placed on us to follow someone's particular teaching and giving money and embarrassing people and things like that. Why don't you just do it from the pureness of your heart? You want to help somebody? Give out of the pureness of your heart. Not looking for anything back, ever. Not looking for God to bless you with anything more than he's given you, but always asking that God might open up the opportunity for you to be a blessing for someone else. That is the ultimate objective of one that calls himself led by the Spirit of God in order to bring about a true biblical transformation, which is the biblical alternative as opposed to this foolish tithing and almsgiving that causes one not to respect themselves. Well, thank you for coming to my website. This is Pastor John, your internet pastor, hoping that the rest of your weekend will be a blessed one. God bless. Stay in the Word.